Welcome to the Parentnet podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. In each episode, we will be speaking with everyday parents and practitioners as they share with us gems from their parenthood journey. Keep tuning in to learn with us as we figure it out together.
Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast. My name is June and I'm your host for this episode. Parents today, they have to juggle it all. Careers, kids, and the pressure to get everything right. For fathers too, the pressure of providing for the family while being present in their children's lives are also very real. Joining us today is Sebastian Teo, a working father with two girls. He will be sharing more about the importance of being a father. Welcome to our Parentnet podcast, Sebastian. Could you start off by sharing a bit about yourself?
Sure, June. Firstly, thanks for inviting me to this podcast. It's a pleasure to be here to share a little bit about my journey as a father. I'm a father of two girls. The older one is 15 years old. The younger one is 12 years old. So just finished PSLE.
Yay!
Yeah. I'm a HR professional and specifically I'm working in talent management. So I look after the talent management function for APAC. Mm. So that's a little bit about myself.
I'm hearing it's like a regional role. So you must have a lot of things on your plate. So share with us, you know, what are some of your biggest challenges when it comes to parenting?
My girls are in different phases of life at this point in time. One has entered teenagehood. The other one is a preteen going into adolescence in about a couple of months' time, right? Mm. And I think one of the challenges I faced was transition into teenagehood, especially for my older one. And I think I'm not the only father in this journey. I believe there are many fathers who struggle with that. And what I've come to realize is that a lot of fathers find it difficult to relate to their teen at this stage of their life because suddenly they withdraw from their parents. They want more privacy. And I think daughters and girls in general tend to mature faster than boys. My teen is no longer that 5-6-year-old child where, you know, she would just run gladly into my lap and I can just play with her. Suddenly she goes through this transition and they feel like there is a certain distance between them. And I felt that myself, but I was determined to not allow that to get in the way of my relationship with my daughter. So I did the normal things. I chose to spend one-on-one time with her. So for example, after her PSLE, I went on a one-on-one trip with her to Korea.
Wow.
And that was really to celebrate the end of PSLE, but also to bond with her. The other thing that I think was significant, and I hope it was significant to her as well, was a date with Dad.
Right.
That was run by Focus on the Family.
Wonderful.
That was amazing. Mm. That was an opportunity for me to really let her know how much I cared for her. And I think there was a pledge at the end where the fathers would make that pledge to their daughter. And I think I only could get through half the pledge and I was in tears. I couldn't finish it because it meant so much to me. And I told myself that regardless of the different stages and phases of her life, as a father, I will be there for her. So these are some of the challenges, the transition right into teenagehood. Not easy, but continue to be there for her.
I'm curious. That intentional efforts that you have been putting in, you know, into your relationship with your daughters after PSLE, that special one-on-one trip, you know, really intentionally to bond with your daughter.
Yeah.
And then also I'm hearing the date with that event that you went and you attended and you could, you know, really feel the significance of that moment of sharing with her, you know, your hopes for her, the pledge that you said. My husband also attended with our eldest daughter.
Fantastic,
so,
yes.
Yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I'd just like to add in something. Mm. I think it's important that fathers don't see this as just one or two events that I show up for my daughter and that's it. In fact, I feel that daughters in their teenage years, it's so critical for the father to be there for them because it is at this phase of their lives where they are trying to make sense of the world, where they're questioning their self-worth, where they're looking at people of the opposite sex and wondering, why is this person giving me so much attention? Mm. How do I relate to boys in general? Mm. And I think it's all the more important for fathers to be there, to share, to be their protector, to be their advisor, to be, more importantly, their friend. So it's not just one or two significant milestones, but to be consistent at every point of their life.
Yeah, so consistency is key, right? And it's not just a one and done deal, you know, where you can just show up for the special moments, but then forget about the everyday small moments that you actually talk with her or share something about your day with her or even hear something about what she is going through.
Absolutely. Yeah.
With this transition stage and, you know, the changes that are going on in your daughters, the new world that they sometimes have to navigate, you know, especially as they enter like a new school environment, perhaps the new friendships they need to forge. How do you and your wife tag team and play as a team to stay connected with them? Are there things that you perhaps do differently from your wife?
So that's interesting. I think to begin with, I'm blessed to find a wife who shares similar values. And I think that was one of the items on my checklist when I married her. We do share similar values in terms of wanting to have children, how we envision ourselves bringing up children. And it still holds true till today when it comes to bringing up teens and when it comes to disciplining teens. We do share similar values. Of course, the execution might be slightly different, but we always try to align first before we tell something to our teenage girl or whenever we need to have a discussion with her. We always ensure that we are aligned and we are on the same page, and it's not daddy is saying something and then mommy is saying something and then the poor girl is confused. So who do I listen to, right? So I think that's one of the things that we try to do. Of course, we don't get it all the time, especially when a random question comes out, right? While we're driving in the car and then I say something that's different from what my wife is saying. But apart from that, I think some of the important decisions, we try to align it among ourselves first. And that is critical. And that's, I guess, what has led us successfully, or at least so far, in parenting our teenage girl.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that the common values that you share is so important, right? As you mentioned, it's one of your top priority lists when it comes to finding your mate, right, for life. And then I'm also hearing that the intentional getting into alignment, you know, that takes the conversations between you and your wife, especially when it comes to important things, perhaps important values that you want to align first, you know, before you present them or that's share them with your daughters.
Yes.
So I'm hearing that these things are really helping you to stay connected even in the midst of the change and the transitional years.
That's so true.
And earlier on in this conversation, you sort of alluded to the attention that your daughters may be starting to get from boys.
Yeah,
so I think that's kind of a rite of passage, right, for many girls and many parents of girls, as well as boys, although it's probably at a different end of the, you know, attention, right? So what do you wish, you know, your daughter really knew about relationships, whether it's with friends or with eventually boys that she might be interested in or might be interested in her?
First, I need to admit that I put her in an all-girls school because I didn't want to deal with BGR issues in her secondary school years.
A very practical step, I must say.
Yes, a practical step. But she also gets to meet with boys and male friends outside of her school environment, and I can't stop that, right? And I don't think it's right for me to stop that, because I think she needs to learn how to have healthy relationships and to also establish healthy boundaries with boys. Yeah. Well, with regards to your question specifically, I haven't told her this yet, and maybe after this podcast I will.
Or maybe you can play this podcast right
yes,
to her.
Yes, I think so.
Listen together in the car.
Because she has not come to me to say, hey, Dad, I'm interested in this boy. And maybe she won't. Maybe the day she tells me, hi, Dad, I'm in a relationship with a boy. But, you know, I would tell her, don't be fixated with finding the right partner. Rather, focus your energy and time on being the right partner for your future spouse, right? So move from finding to being. Be the best person that you can be for your partner. And I think when you do that, love will come knocking at your door. And I think I shared this with her when she was a lot younger, maybe she didn't quite understand. I told her, you know, aim to be the most attractive girl, right? Not physically, but inside you, right? Be that most attractive girl for others. And I think when you choose to do that, and when you choose to build character, when you choose to walk in integrity, when you choose to make decisions based on your values, I think boys at some stage will be able to see that and they know what you stand for. And if it's aligned with who they are and what they represent, then they might approach you to say, hey, I'm interested in you. I would like to get to know you better. So don't keep asking, where's the right one? I can't find the right one. Mm. Be the right person first.
Mm. I think those are such wise words, Sebastian. If I'm honest, I think I'm going to steal some of them, you know, as I speak my daughter, you know, these few weeks. It not only applies to parents with girls,
yes.
I think it also applies to boys.
Boys,
right?
Absolutely.
Be that right person, be the best person that you can be.
Yeah.
And don't worry about your future partner, where you're going to find him or her, because you are the best person that you can be. Many opportunities come knocking in the future.
Exactly. So stop focusing on others, focus on self. Focus on working on your inner self.
I think this is the one occasion or the one situation where focusing on self is actually really important.
Absolutely.
Right? In many other areas, we often say like, oh, you should think about others. You should look to help others, for example. But in this particular situation, when it comes to relationships, actually working on the self and becoming a person whom you yourself might even like or admire.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Having a good relationship with ourselves first is really the key.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, if you see, a lot of relationships fail because one party fails to work on themselves, right? Either they're very insecure about their looks, they're insecure because of their family background, they're not given enough love and attention, and they start leeching on, right, to their partners. Mm. After a while, this is not sustainable in the relationship.
As we navigate this growing up years, and your daughters will begin to experience different things, whether in school or outside of school, I'm wondering, how do you find this delicate balance between giving them room to explore their interests, to go out to explore, and intentionally guiding them towards what you mentioned, like the right values that you want them to have? How do you navigate this balance?
So I'll be honest with you, nothing prepares you for parenthood until you actually encounter some of these experiences or episodes yourself. I'll give you an example. Now, I think most fathers, or most males in general, we are made to problem solve. So my daughter was telling me about a situation where she was trying to contact this person urgently, but the person didn't respond to her.
Right.
And so as a problem solver, I told her, just pick up the phone and call her. You need an answer in 2 hours' time. Pick up the phone. And she said, no, it's weird. I'll just text. Oh. And I've dropped many texts. And she's still not calling. And then I was driving her and she was on duty. And she still then didn't know if she was going to be put on duty. And then she was just lamenting and saying, why didn't the person call me? And then I told her, but I told you many times to pick up the phone and call her. What is so difficult? And then she retorted, I just wanted you to listen. I'm only telling you that. And then she kept quiet. And then there was an awkward silence. And then I realized that all she wanted me to do was simply to listen. I mean, I get that a lot from my wife, but not my daughter. And I realized that that was what she really wanted me to do, to listen and not to problem solve for her. Mm. So that's just one example. I've learned over time to give her space and to allow her to make decisions on her own, even though sometimes I feel like stepping in to make that decision to tell her, no, you shouldn't be heading down this path because I've been there before. I know where the path is going to lead you to. But again, I just wanted her to experience it herself. When she discovers that that's the wrong decision that she's made, many times I would say, so how did it go? And whenever something goes wrong, she would just be silent. She will keep quiet. And whenever that happens, I try to take her out for a meal, or as a family, we'll go out for a meal, and we'll just get her, and she'll just naturally share. And we just listen. There's no need to comment too much. That's the transition, the most difficult transition I faced.
Thanks for sharing. So poignant, your story. And it tells me so many things, right, about your relationship with your daughter, and about also what our teens really need sometimes is not for us to jump in to rescue them, even though we can see the answer like clearly flashing, you know, almost before our eyes.
Red lights blinking.
Right? Yeah. And it takes so much restraint. Yet I'm hearing that you have really tried to hold back and to allow them that space to decide for themselves. Once we have perhaps given them one piece of advice and they decided on their own way, you know, is to step back and to let them experience whatever whatever they have chosen, and then be there to listen to them once again,
absolutely.
You know, once everything is done and dusted.
Yes.
I think that's so hard sometimes as
parents. Oh, it's tough. You've got to bite your tongue. Yeah, many times I had to do that.
Yeah, and I think that maybe this is part of the trickiness of growing up, of navigating the growing up years. It is the shift and realizing that our relationship has shifted and our behavior as parents also needs to change.
Yes.
So when they're young, we are so used to telling them, giving them instructions, you know, almost like a guidebook for life, you know, follow this and you'll never suffer pain. Unfortunately, and also fortunately, they learn through those decisions and through those circumstances.
Yeah. And I think to some extent, that has somewhat helped. If you don't mind, and if there's a bit of time, I'd just like to read a note that my daughter put together on my birthday, just most recently. And she said this: "Thank you for always being there for me and supporting me, even if it was embarrassing or funny. You have shown me many aspects of life, and I'm very grateful to have you. You have never missed an opportunity to reward me after my exams, even if I didn't do well. You have never failed to give me advice and always check up on me, even when I'm tired and I don't talk. And you always go out of your way to get me food when I'm hungry or call me a grab. I will study very hard this year and next year to make you proud and do well. You raised me very well." This was the first time I've read something like this.
That's beautiful.
I hope I've done something well or something right.
I believe so. I mean, hearing those heartfelt words from your daughter.
Yes.
I wonder if you would be open, you know, to perhaps share maybe a few lines of what you would say to your daughter in response.
In response to this.
Or even in general, if that's something.
Yeah, well, there are two things. So there's nothing too difficult or impossible for you to solve on your own. Daddy and mommy, we are always here for you. And you can always share your struggles or your problems with us. We will always be there for you. And I think the second thing is that home will always be a safe space for you. So regardless of whether you're having a really nasty day, a really bad day, you're feeling really lousy, come back. Because home is a place of refuge, a place of comfort, a place where you can share your emotions and we'll be there for you. These are just two simple things that I'll say to her.
Yeah. I think that's so heartwarming. And I really hope that your daughters will be able to listen to that.
Fingers crossed. I hope so too. I'll play it in the car.
Yes. Sebastian, it's been a real, real pleasure having you on this podcast.
Thank you.
I think what you've shared really brings fresh insights and also ideas, you know, to parents out there who might be wondering, how can I navigate these challenging and often tumultuous years, you know, the teenage years? And also, what are some things that I really, really want my daughter to learn from me in this precious window of time that we get to spend with them? So thank you so much. Before we wrap up, what would you say to a fellow dad who might be listening to this podcast and wondering, I'm struggling to connect with my daughter, you know, during this changing season. What can I do?
Firstly, it's never too late. Start now. Be there for them, even if it means being there with them physically. And I know it might be awkward when there are no conversations at all, but be there for them. Ask them, how's your day? How are you feeling today? And I think these are little things that at that point may not seem like you're doing much, but I'm sure your daughter will remember these, remember the care and concern that you've consistently showed to her. I would say be consistent and don't allow the barrier of, oh, she's in the teenage years, you know, she's becoming a bit distant from me, to affect you too much. Just be there for her, and I'm rooting for all the fathers out there.
Thank you so much, Sebastian. I'm sure many of them will find that piece of advice so useful and also encouraging.
Thank you.
Even as they persevere on in this parenting journey.
Yes.
So thank you once again for being here with us.
Thank you.
To our listeners out there, for more of our parenting resources, do go to family.org.sg/subscribe. And if today's episode resonated with you, feel free to hit the follow button so that you always stay updated. Do also leave us a review or share this episode with a fellow dad friend or in your parenting community. And that's all we have today. Thank you for tuning in to the Parenet Podcast, where we learn and grow together on this parenting journey.